Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, May 5th. Permian sees growth in Bitcoin mining. Speaker at Motran event says excess gas can be utilized to procure cryptocurrency. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Cryptocurrency is rapidly rising around the globe, and the Permian Basin is playing an increasing role in the technology. Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency that was created in 2009. Mining it utilizes a lot of computing power and electricity, and Permian Basin natural gas is increasingly utilized to power those computers. In fact, Bitcoin mining has grown so significantly in the Permian Basin over the last 6 months that the Midland-Odessa Transportation Alliance, MOTRAN, on Wednesday held a workshop on the subject. Kat Galloway, Chief Executive Officer of Artemis Energy and founder of Bright Sky Environmental, told a packed auditorium at the Petroleum Museum that the two industries work well together because they solve each other's problems. Quote, "Bitcoin needs energy. Oil and gas operators need to reduce their emissions," she said. She explained that instead of flaring the natural gas, it could be put to use generating electricity for other purposes, such as Bitcoin mining. That natural gas can be used to power equipment on site, a concept that is not new, Galloway said. Quote, "What is new is what we do with that power, which is Bitcoin mining." She estimated that using oil field gas for Bitcoin mining instead of flaring it reduces volatile organic compound emissions by 98%, carbon monoxide emissions by 69%, nitrogen oxide emissions by 43%, and greenhouse gas emissions in the form of carbon dioxide equivalents by 28%. Quote, "By using flared gas to reduce emissions, Bitcoin mining can be pollution abatement," she said, adding that if the infrastructure is designed properly, it provides real and credible emissions reduction for operators. "It is also a revenue generator for operators," she said, estimating Bitcoin mining generates $10 to $30 per MCF in revenue. Cole Harrison, business development manager for Baseline Energy Services, a rental provider of natural gas generators across the country, said Bitcoin miners have been using his company's larger generators for their operations. For oil and gas producers to effectively partner with Bitcoin miners, Harrison said they need to provide a consistent supply of gas and room on well pads for the generators. Off-grid mining utilities flared gas, stranded gas, or excess gas to power their operations. Quote, "We're seeing operators wanting to diversify and delegate some of their gas production to Bitcoin miners," he said. "Not only does Bitcoin mining reduce emissions, but creates jobs for pumpers, information technology specialists, electricians, and construction workers who need to extend well pads," Harrison said. "It also provides new revenue streams in terms of increased royalties and production taxes." Education in the Permian Basin, as well as the city of Midland, could benefit as Bitcoin mining expands and matures in the region, said Paul Cockerham, who currently manages Fortress Energy's operated assets as operations engineer and Verde Mining's flare gas Bitcoin mining. "Bitcoin mining could attract highly skilled workers to Midland and drive innovation," Cockerham said. "It could also help area schools, Midland College, and the University of Texas Permian Basin attract research grants and projects." Focusing on education, Cockerham says he wants to start touting the benefits to high school students before they head to college. If they're able to study the technology at local schools, he said, they may stay and build their careers. Cockerham also sees tax benefits through tax abatements for those who use natural gas to power mining operations, such as those offered in Wyoming. He predicted that could bring about an end to gas severance taxes. Midland, quote, will also have a cleaner environment, lower emissions, better air quality, less light pollution. When I first moved here, I could see the stars, he said. U.S. officials tour rig frack site. Congressman August Pfluger hosted Kathy McMorris Rogers, the ranking member on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, Wednesday, for a tour of MCM Exploration's drilling rig in Midland and the Diamondback Energy hydraulic fracturing site in Midland County. McMorris Rogers is the latest Republican to come to the Permian Basin and see what happens in the nation's most significant oil patch. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy came to Midland in February of 2021 to tour a rig and learn more about what happens in the Permian. McMorris Rogers represents an area of eastern Washington state. Quote, the Permian Basin is the epicenter of oil and gas production in the nation, Pfluger stated in a news release. We produce more secure, affordable, reliable, and clean energy than anywhere else in the United States. It was an honor to host Kathy McMorris Rogers, the Republican leader of the House Energy and Commerce Committee in Midland, for a first-hand look at the industry. Thank you to MCM Exploration and Diamondback Energy for giving leader McMorris Rogers and I a first-hand look at the innovation, entrepreneurship, risk, and hard work that goes into producing oil and gas, end quote. Small bites. Celebrate moms and Cinco de Mayo. Midland spots offer plenty of options for brunch, beer, or both. This was written by J.C. Lewis. Whether you want to celebrate the anniversary of Mexico's victory in the Battle of Puebla or your mother doing a brunch, Midland has options. Cinco de Mayo is Thursday, and there are many different events to celebrate, everything from concerts to food and drinks. The Blue Door is having a Cinco de Mayo fundraiser event from 5 to 7 p.m., benefiting Fix West Texas. There will be a raffle for an art piece by Bleak Art, with every cent raised going to Fix West Texas. The event will also feature cocktail and wine samples, charcuterie cups, local business raffles, Tito's swag, local art, and $6 hibiscus margaritas and palomas. Fare to Midland's Cinco de Mayo party will be from 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Thursday. There will be draft margaritas, dressed beers, and tajin on everything to Fiesta the Day Away, according to an Instagram post. Ranchland Hills Golf Club will have a Cinco de Mayo taco night with $3 margaritas on Thursday. Woody's Hideaway will host a Cinco de Mayo celebration starting at 7 p.m. Thursday. The event will feature Don Julio and more to enjoy. Los Chicos del 512, the Salina Experience, will perform at the Actor Theater during the Cinco de Mayo celebration. Doors open at 6 p.m., and the show starts at 7 p.m. Thursday. Downtown Odessa Incorporated is also hosting a Cinco de Mayo celebration at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center starting at 5 p.m. There will be live mariachi, street tacos, house margaritas, chips and queso, and more. The Destination Midland will host a Cinco de Mayo event with a cornholes tournament starting at 6:30 p.m. Thursday. Fiesta West Texas comes back this year with 3 days of music starting on Friday. Bands include La Maquinaria Norteña, Los Cumbia Kings, and La Zenda Norteña. For tickets, visit https://bit.ly/fiesta-ticket. Alpine will host a multi-day event for Cinco de Mayo, starting on Thursday with an enchilada supper and folklorico dancers. The 27th annual Cinco de Mayo celebration will be taking over Alpine for the weekend. Other weekend highlights include live music by multiple bands, a car, truck, and motorcycle show, as well as lots of food vendors. Visit https://visitalpinetx.com/event/Cinco de Mayo/ for more information. Need help making plans for Mother's Day? Make sure to reserve a table at one of Midland's many brunch spots. Brenchland Hills Golf Club will have a Mother's Day brunch from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday. All-you-can-eat buffet for $34.95, with kids eating for $15.95. There will be mimosas and drink specials. Email events@ranchlandhills.com or call 432-683-2041, extension 4, to make reservations. Merrill and Derek will host a Mother's Day brunch from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sunday. The brunch is reservations only. Reservations can be made by calling 432-614-2454. Cork and Pig Tavern will serve up Mother's Day brunch from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sunday. Reservations can be made by calling 432-400-4121. The Patio has brunch from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday. Reservations can be made by calling 432-695-6648. Wall Street Bar and Grill serves up brunch from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Sunday. Labrado is open from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday for brunch. Reservations can be made by calling 432-218-7260. 4110 will have a Mother's Day brunch with Lego flower gift. Kids and mom get their choice of entree, a Lego building kit, and a warm chocolate chip cookie skillet for $50. Reservations can be made by calling 432-535-4110. Flair Taverna has daily brunch from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Reservations can be made by calling 432-653-5154. The Bites. Food Truck Alley has moved to 1207 South Big Spring Street. Shipley Donuts is offering teachers donuts for half off until Friday. Higher Grounds Coffee Shop will be undergoing renovations. The coffee shop will have a grand opening on June 3rd and June 4th at 403 Andrews Highway. PSP donates $3.17 million to road safety initiatives. Permian Strategic Partnership and Permian Road Safety Coalition are partnering in an effort to reduce vehicle crash fatalities and injuries across the Permian Basin. The two organizations have teamed up to develop a second round of the First Responder Life-Saving Equipment Initiative. The PSP will be giving $3.17 million to fund life-saving equipment to first responders in 26 counties across West Texas and Southeast New Mexico. This partnership builds upon the first round of this initiative, which was previously funded by the PSP in 2021 with a $1.1 million donation. Quote, the PSP is honored to continue supporting our first responder and law enforcement partners across the entire region through a new round of funding for this initiative, said Tracy Bentley, president and CEO of the Permian Strategic Partnership. Quote, importantly, the second phase nearly triples the amount of our prior support and will expand our reach across the Permian Basin while strategically placing equipment and tools where they are most needed. End quote. Quote, the PRSC is very proud to continue this worthy and valuable initiative with the PSP, said Ellen K. Ramsey, Executive Director of the Permian Road Safety Coalition. Quote, law enforcement, firefighters, and emergency services workers, all first-on-scene responders, continue to greatly need assistance purchasing the tools necessary to save lives in urban, rural, and remote areas of the Permian Basin. Together, we will close these gaps and make our roadways safer, end quote. Specific life-saving equipment needs have been directly identified through close collaboration with Permian Basin first responders. The PSP funding will provide a base-level equipment kit for at least 80 first responder departments with customized equipment and gear to accommodate unique needs that vary across the Permian Basin. This equipment will include components such as medical supply kits, fire extinguishers, wildlife and structured fire protective clothing, gas monitors, mobile lighting tools, and rescue helicopter landing zone kits. First responder agencies receiving this equipment are located in the Texas counties of Andrews, Borden, Brewster, Crane, Culberson, Dawson, Ector, Gaines, Glasscock, Howard, Jeff Davis, Loving, Martin, Midland, Pecos, Presidio, Reagan, Reeves, Terrell, Upton, Ward, Winkler, and Yoakum counties, and the New Mexico counties of Eddy, Lee, and Chavez. Equipment will be distributed throughout 2022 and 2023. The donation is the fourth multi-million-dollar gift that the PSP, a coalition of 17 leading Permian Basin energy companies. In April, the PSP provided a lead gift of $10 million to help construct a $30 million, 60,000-square-foot structure at Midland College that will enlarge the capacity of the college's existing pre-K academy and also serve as an academic center for the college's new Bachelor of Applied Science program in early childhood education. Later in the month, it was announced the PSP will contribute $7.5 million to team up with the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation to gift 134 elementary schools in the Permian Basin with a fully equipped science, technology, engineering, and math center, or STEM, reaching more than 60,000 students and 2,000 teachers in 22 counties. Then it was announced a surgical and subspecialty resident training program will operate in the Permian Basin thanks to a $12.8 million gift from the Permian Strategic Partnership. The gift to the Permian Road Safety Coalition brings the four-project total to more than $33 million.
Midland Reporter-Telegram Energy Page, Thursday, May 5th. Global Natural Gas Crunch Give U.S. Edge by Gerson Freitas Jr., Bloomberg. A global shortage of natural gas is giving U.S. fuel makers an edge over European rivals. Refiners rely on natural gas as a crucial source of heat to distill crude oil into products such as diesel and gasoline. In the U.S., gas prices have more than doubled over the past year to top $8 per million British thermal units, but that still pales in comparison to the $32 European users have to pay. Because the world is short of fuel, global prices for gasoline and diesel need to be set at levels that allow European refiners to keep running even as they outspend. That means the higher gap is between natural gas prices in Europe and the U.S., the more profits American refiners, such as Valero Energy Corporation, will reap by supplying their products, everything else remaining the same. Natural gas disparity between the U.S. and Europe should provide a structural margin advantage for U.S. refiners, especially for assets located in the Gulf Coast, Valero Chief Executive Officer Joe Gorder said in a conference call with analysts last week. Prices for diesel and gasoline are skyrocketing, leading to a windfall for refiners. The so-called 3-2-1 crack spread, a rough calculation for U.S. refiners' gain on making gasoline and diesel, has more than doubled over the past year to an all-time high. Marathon Petroleum Corporation and Valero, the two largest independent crude refiners in the U.S., are poised to collect record earnings in 2022, according to analyst estimates compiled by Bloomberg. "We are in an area that I haven't seen in my career," David Lamp, the CEO of CVR Energy Incorporated, said during a conference call with analysts when commenting on spreads. "We're short refining capacity worldwide." Cheaper natural gas has translated into a cost benefit of as much as $9 per barrel of oil for U.S. refiners relative to their European rivals, according to Phillips 66. But costly natural gas is ultimately a negative for all refiners as it erodes profits. The U.S. advantage may disappear if domestic prices become more tied to the overseas market as exports grow, or if European supply disruptions ease. For Marathon Petroleum, where gas accounts for 15% of operating costs, a $1 move in prices for the heating fuel, has an impact of $330 million on earnings before taxes and other items, Chief Financial Officer Marion T. Mannen said Tuesday in a conference call with analysts. Oil rallies as EU plans strictest Russia ban yet. Oil rallied as supply concerns took center stage with the EU, threatening to ban Russian supplies this year and U.S. regional fuel inventories dropping to record lows. Futures in New York climbed more than 5% to settle at $107.81 on Wednesday, while Brent closed above $110 for the first time since mid-April. The European Union said it plans to ban Russian crude and refined by the end of the year. This will be a complete import ban on all Russian oil, seaborne and pipeline, crude and refined, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said. Adding to the sense of supply pressure, East Coast diesel inventories fell to a record low as U.S. refiners increasingly supply global markets in the absence of Russian product, according to data from the Energy Information Administration. Europe is highly dependent on Russian crude, and some countries will find it easier to switch supply than others. Russia shipped about 720,000 barrels a day of crude to European refineries through its main pipeline to the region last year. That compares with seaborne volumes of 1.57 million barrels a day from its Baltic, Black Sea, and Arctic ports. The European Commission's plan removes some of the overhang from a lack of a clear proposal in prior weeks, said Rohan Reddy, Director of Research at Global X Management. "It's a clear sign by the EU that the bloc is willing to move on from Russian oil, despite its current dependence on it. It will need to be voted on by the EU member states, but putting forth a framework is a major step." Hungary and Slovakia, who have been opposed to a swift cutoff of Russian oil, will be granted a longer time frame, until the end of 2023, to enforce the sanctions, according to people with knowledge of the matter.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, May 5th, 2022. Community Calendar. Cinco de Mayo Celebration. The Hispanic Cultural Center of Midland is having its Cinco de Mayo celebration from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. today at HCC Midland Center, 1311 East Wadley. Meetings. Midland College, 4 p.m. Thursday in the Gibson Boardroom. Events. Cinco de Mayo, Cactus and Canvas, 6 p.m. Thursday at 2109 West Texas. Cinco de Mayo celebration with Los Chicos del 512, 6 p.m. Thursday at the Hector Theater. Cinco de Mayo celebration, 7 p.m. Thursday at Woody's Hideaway. Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band, 7:30 p.m. Thursday at Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Kevin Fowler, 9 p.m. Thursday at Rockin' Rodeo. Pulling for the Arts Clay Shoot, 8:15 a.m. Friday at 7400 West County Road 170. Midland Bar Crawl, 5 p.m. Friday at Micro Market. Live Rooftop Art Show, 6 p.m. Friday at Doubletree Hotel. Clay Gibson Band, 7 p.m. Friday at The Destination Midland. Journey USA Tribute, 7:30 p.m. Friday at the Horseshoe Amphitheater. MCT's Noises Off, Friday and Saturday. Mix Fix Academy, 9:30 a.m. Saturday at Crestview Baptist Church. Market at the Gardens, 10 a.m. Saturday at Cafe at the Gardens. A Day at the Races, 4:30 p.m. Saturday at Museum of the Southwest. Pat Green Band with Django Walker, 7 p.m. Saturday at the Bush Tennis Center. LOL Surprise, 7 p.m. May 11th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Farm to Table, 6 p.m. May 12th at the Polo Club Midland. Bert Kreischer, 7 p.m. May 12th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Mike Ryan, 6 p.m. May 13th at Dos Amigos. Bart Crow, 7 p.m. May 13th at the Mule Barn. Chad Cook Band, 7 p.m. May 13th at the Destination Midland. May the Planets Be With You, 7:30 p.m. May 14th, Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Permian Tacos and Tequila Tuesday, 5 p.m. May 17th at the Destination Midland. Art Museum Starts Campaign for New Facility by J.C. Lewis. Odessa. Community members and leaders gathered at the Ellen Knoll Art Museum Saturday for the launch of the capital campaign for the museum's new expanded facility. After 37 years, the museum will be redesigned to better serve the needs of the public and the growing community. Officials said $9.5 million of the $12 million goal for the capital campaign has already been raised. Construction on the project is expected to begin in November, with a project timeline of 14 months. The new facility will expand the museum's footprint by 13,808 square feet, with a 9,700 square foot gallery space that is no longer impeded by a curved wall, a 2,000 square foot theater, and multi-purpose gallery space, a 4,700-square-foot event space, and two classrooms, which will also serve as meeting rooms. The theater will have a seating capacity of 100. Park Hill, Smith & Cooper Architects of Midland have completed detailed drawings for the project. The museum currently hosts 12 to 18 exhibitions a year. Past exhibitions at the museum featured Ground Zero 360, a 9/11 retrospective, 2019, Andy Warhol, 15 Minutes of Fame, 2017, and Golden Age of Hollywood, 2018. Before the pandemic, the museum hosted almost 300 events and programs for West Texas children, adults, and seniors. The museum has also committed more than 30,000 instructional hours to Ector County ISD. We want to expand and serve our community as it grows, the Ellen Knoll Art Museum Executive Director, Sheila Perry, said during the announcement. This building is 37 years old, and everything is original, which is a testament to how well things were built in 1985. This building looks as good as it did when it was built. We're going to do a retrofit to bring everything up to standard and update some of the aged systems that have met their life cycle. We are also going to expand and change the look of the museum. The new design aims to make the museum more inviting to visitors, with one designated entrance featuring a glass facade. The new louvered system will help protect the new glass-enclosed classrooms and lobbies from the West Texas sun. The redesigned space will also concentrate collections and exhibition activity to the west end of the building, reducing the square footage that must be cooled and humidified to meet American Alliance of Museums standards, resulting in increased efficiencies. The new facade will open up the not-so-welcoming brick with glass, R.J. Lopez said. We're adding a new modern arched driveway to the front entry. There will be a large glass lobby asking the community to come inside. Not only will the new facility provide more space for the community and exhibits, it will also allow for exhibitions the museum couldn't host previously to make their way to the Permian Basin. Safety and technical upgrades include a fire suppression system, updated lighting elements, humidity and temperature control via HVAC system, and an updated security system. While the museum is in the construction phase, museum staff, exhibitions, and programming will be temporarily moved to the John Ben Shepherd Public Leadership Institute across the parking lot at 4919 University Boulevard, starting in September 2022. The move into the space has allowed for a partnership to open up between the two entities. University of Texas Permian Basin Vice President of Student Affairs and Leadership Student Services, Becky Spurlock, said sharing the space was a light bulb moment because they will have museum professionals to help with their archives. The partners will share space and expertise to help each other. The Perryman Group estimates that the construction and renovation phase would lead to an increase in business activity in the Odessa area of almost $9.4 million in output, $6.5 million in personal income, and 104 jobs in a year. Ongoing annual benefits of the expansion from incremental operations and tourism include an estimated $11.8 million in output, $7.3 million in personal income, and 155 jobs when multiplier effects are considered. Economic activity generates tax receipts and incremental taxes from ongoing annual benefits, including an estimated $633,700 per year to local governments. State Representative Brooks Landgraf said he remembers when the museum opened as the Art Institute and visited the space with his mother and sisters to participate in the child's play programs. It was here, in 1985, that I first encountered as a four-year-old boy in Odessa, Texas, a world beyond what immediately surrounded me, he said. He added that the museum is an oasis in the desert, a refuge from a world that can be harsh and cruel, as well as a place to be inspired. For more information or to donate, visit https://culturalenhancementnowellartmuseum.org/.
Hello, this is Cindy, continuing to read from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday. Opinion Extra. Midland isn't part of Odessa bond election, by Stuart Doreen. Those against a school bond in Odessa, please leave Midland out of your school bond campaign talking points. You see, there are people like Ector County Commissioner Mike Gardner and Jamie Foreman, manager of something called Odessa's Accountability Project, telling people not to vote for a bond because it would result in a school being built too close to the Midland County line. And that means, they said, students from Midland County might want to attend Ector County ISD schools. Here's the thing. If people in Odessa are talking about the students from the former Mission Dorado area along Faudry Road, those are Odessa kids anyway, and ECISD picks up money for keeping those kids from making the drive to Midland. That helps ECISD and the families in that area. Second, it is hard to imagine there are legions of Midlanders just wanting to put our students in new buildings and not giving a thought about really what is best for their children's education. Midlanders know that based on our most recent bond, new buildings don't guarantee a better education. I also think that Midlanders who are paying attention know and have confidence in Midland ISD's current trajectory with Superintendent Angelica Ramsey. It is hard to point to one real reason that family living inside the city of Midland would want to pick up and make the trip, day after day, across State Highway 191, and drop their kids off at a school that likely will not be a step up academically from the high school they are slated to attend inside MISD. If people like Gardner and Foreman want to talk geography, maybe the more Ector County-centric argument is that a new high school should be put in a different area of Odessa to reach more students from Odessa or West Odessa. Maybe geography is an issue as a new school in northeast Odessa might take families out of the Permian zone. I'm sure those who oppose the bond are smart enough to come up with talking points that don't involve Midlanders. Your school bond campaign isn't our fight. Estimated numbers show there are 165 kids from Midland attending ECISD schools. A new school won't change that dramatically. The ECISD school bond may be defeated on Saturday, but one reason won't be that Midland is now center stage in the fight, as one hyperbolic headline put it. This is an issue for the people in Odessa and Ector County. Please keep it that way.
Hello, this is Michael, reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram. Thursday, May 5th, 2022. Obituaries. David Jackson. David Jackson was born July 21st, 1952, in La Mesa, Texas, to Rufus Jackson and Mary Edwards. David departed this life April 30th, 2022. The family will receive visitors from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Thursday, May 5th at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, 1502 North Lamesa Road in Midland. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. at Antioch Baptist Church, 1400 East Golf Course Road in Midland, with Pastor Ronald Van Dyke officiating. Burial will be held immediately after the funeral services at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery, 6800 Texas 349, Midland, 79706. David Jackson is preceded in death by his mother, Mary Edwards, his brother, James Jackson, and his brother, Ricky Jackson. David Jackson is survived by his loving wife, Beecha Jackson, his father, Rufus Jackson, his children, Michelle Bird, Corey Kelly, Max Kelly, Sarome Johnson, and Bianca Ramirez, his stepchildren, Angela Johnson, Tracy Johnson, and Brandy Johnson, his siblings, Rosa Harvey, Henrietta Bolton, Peggy Whitley, Doris Jackson, Lisa Jackson, Lola Jackson, Kenneth Jackson, and Donald Jackson. He had grandchildren, nieces, nephews, cousins that were too plentiful to list. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. John Allen White. John Allen White, 63, of Stanton, Texas, passed away Sunday, April 24th, after a battle with cancer. Services will be 11 a.m. Saturday, May 7th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Chapel in Midland. John was born December 3rd, 1958, in Roswell, New Mexico, to Connie and Henry White. John is survived by his wife, Ann, and their son, John Clay, his wife, Angel, and grandchildren, Jess, Trent, and Brandon, his sister, Peggy Parley, her daughter, Shauna McElvin, and husband, Jason, Peggy's son, Chad Parley, and wife, Brandy, his brother, Henry Clay White, wife, Ellen, and their daughter, Kim, and husband, Eric. Also, great nieces and nephews in California and McKinney, Texas. John is preceded in death by his parents, Connie and Henry White, aunt and uncle Rosalie and Ted Quass, aunt Charlotte Camatra, his stepson, Steve Plumley. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Sassy Dogs Rescue, Permian Basin Animal Advocates, and or A Paw in Need Rescue Incorporated would be more than appropriate. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at npwelch.com. Ramona Mona Costello Moorhead. Ramona Moorhead passed away May 3, 2022, surrounded by her family. She was 81 years old. Mona was born to Ramon and Estella Costello on April 10, 1941, in Shafter, Texas. She is survived by her siblings, Joe, Che, Costello, and wife, Auralia of El Paso, Maria Alman and husband, Joe, and Auralia Ollie Sanchez and husband, Erasmo, both of Odessa. In addition, Mona is grieved by her children, Cruz Sanchez and Elizabeth Carrasco, husband Angel Carrasco, both of Midland, and adoptive son, Edward Rabbit Bundy of Midland. Along with her children, Mona is mourned by her grandchildren and numerous nieces and nephews. Viewing will be held at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Thursday, May 5th from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Rosary from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Services will be held at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church Friday, May 6th at 10 a.m. in Midland. Burial will follow at Fairview Cemetery. funeral service is under the direction of the Wallen Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com.
Hello, this is Cindy. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Thursday, May 5th. Odessa murderer gets 60 years. Desmond Tuggle shot and killed an Odessa teen, by Kim Smith. An Odessa man will be spending the next 60 years in prison after an Ector County jury convicted him of murdering a 17-year-old boy over a drug deal. An Ector County jury took a little over an hour to convict Desmond Tuggle, 23, Wednesday in the May 16, 2020 death of Osvaldo Chevy Renteria, and another 3.5 hours to render their sentence. Assistant Ector County District Attorneys Courtney Williams and Melissa Williams presented evidence throughout their two-day trial that Tuggle shot and killed Renteria moments after Renteria paid Destiny Barrera for a quarter ounce of marijuana with a fake $100 bill and ran away. Renteria was shot once in the back and was found 25 feet from where the exchange took place at the Jackson Square Apartments. He died at the hospital several hours later after losing his entire body's volume of blood while doctors tried to save him. Tuggle confessed to Odessa Police Sergeant Justin Cade the next morning and again on the stand Tuesday. However, he repeatedly said he simply reacted after Renteria snatched the marijuana from Barrera, his girlfriend. He insisted it was a flight-or-fight situation and he had had no time to think. During closing arguments Wednesday morning, Tuggle's defense attorney, Joanna Curry, made several different arguments. She suggested jurors shouldn't consider Tuggle's confessions because he initially told Cade that he wasn't there that night. "He's already been shown to be a liar. Why should we take that as gospel?" Curry said. She pointed out police did not conduct any gunshot residue tests on either Barrera or Tuggle, did not conduct any ballistics testing on the .357 Magnum Tuggle said he used, and they didn't do any fingerprint comparisons. She also said they didn't check to see who the gun was registered to. "We have no physical evidence beyond the confession," Curry said. "A confession without more proof is not guilty." An Ector County grand jury declined to indict Barrera, and she testified against Tuggle Tuesday. She refuted Tuggle's contention that Renteria had snatched the marijuana from her hand and thereby was shot after robbing them. Curry said she'd leave it up to them, but she personally couldn't differentiate between the two people in Tuggle's Dodge Nitro on the video surveillance and suggested Barrera could be the guilty party. "Did she want to get rid of my client? How do we know she didn't fire that gun and my client confessed because he was trying to save her?" Curry asked. She then said if Tuggle did fire the gun that night, that doesn't mean he intended to kill Renteria. "He didn't have to aim. You just straighten your arm out and shoot. That's not aiming," Curry said. "He was just reacting to what had just happened. It wasn't intentionally and it wasn't knowingly." Anticipating some of Curry's arguments, Melissa Williams had earlier argued during her closing argument that the jury can determine Tuggle acted knowingly and intentionally because he knew he was going to a drug deal. He armed himself. He signaled Renteria to the car by flashing his headlights. He grabbed, aimed, and fired the gun and fled the scene. In addition, the evidence showed he removed the spent shell casing from the revolver, bleached the gun, hid it, and lied to the police. In order to convict Tuggle of murder, the jury had to find that Tuggle had acted knowingly and intentionally. During her rebuttal closing argument, Courtney Williams said she was confused by Curry's argument. Somebody else shot him, but Desmond shot him, she asked. She reiterated her co-counsel's arguments, saying the gun wasn't magnetized to Tuggle's hand, and it didn't raise and fire on its own. Every piece of evidence points to one story and one conclusion, Courtney Williams said. She said Tuggle's own words show why he should be convicted of murder, and she then played a snippet of Tuggle's police confession. I pulled the trigger, I raised that gun, it's that simple. During the punishment phase of the trial, Curry pleaded for mercy for her client, saying no one knows how they would have reacted under similar circumstances. She noted her client has never been arrested before and is determined to rehabilitate himself. Tuggle told jurors he's been reading a lot in jail and studying the law. While in prison, he intends to take as many classes as he can and to learn a trade. I messed up. I took the life of someone who I don't think he had a clue of what he was doing, Tuggle said. Renteria's mother, Jessica Castaneda, described her son as a non-judgmental person who took it upon himself to become the man of the house at an early age, going to work for her in a car detailing business at the age of 9. Her life now is a living hell, she said, sobbing. He was a great child. He was one of the best. I've got 3, and he was the first best, and he got ripped away from me over nothing, Castaneda said. The prosecutors also put 2 law enforcement officers on the stand during the punishment phase. Cade, the lead detective on the case, said Tuggle was more concerned about his well-being and that of Barrera's than about the implication of his actions. The prosecutors then showed jurors another video, this one of Tuggle speaking with Kane after his formal interview. In it, Tuggle said, I didn't pull up there to give him no free weed. Odessa Police Corporal Thor Prosise described Tuggle and Barrera as being almost nonchalant while he drove them to jail following their confessions. A camera captured the couple kissing a few times and nuzzling in the back seat of the patrol car. They also discussed the future of their furniture, and Tuggle asked Prosise if he'll be able to write Barrera from prison. Toward the end of the video, Tuggle begins to hum and sing along with Blind Melon's No Rain, which was playing on the radio. Tuggle later explained that behavior by saying, I was trying to keep myself together. I took someone's life, and I don't want to go to prison for the rest of my life. The prosecutors urged the jurors to give Tuggle a life sentence, but said if they opted to give a lesser sentence, argued it should be 50 to 60 years. They insisted Tuggle still hasn't accepted responsibility for his actions, instead blaming the victim repeatedly. Nor has he shown remorse, they said. He's singing along with the radio like he's going to the grocery store, Melissa Williams said. Courtney Williams said that just because Tuggle has never been arrested before doesn't mean he's not engaged in criminal activity before, reminding them he told them he sold marijuana in high school, was shot at during a drug deal, and has been involved in fights in the jail. Justice is about a 17-year-old boy whose life was cut short. Courtney Williams said before playing a police body cam video showing officers begging Renteria to stay awake and to keep breathing as his 10-year-old brother cried for him not to be scared. If he will do that for $100, what will he do for $200? Courtney Williams asked. Recognizing Excellent Educators by Jacob Ford. District presents Employee of the Year honors. Complete with bells and whistles, Ector County ISD officials and board president Tammy Hawkins stopped off at 6 campuses Wednesday to present Employee of the Year awards. Another round is scheduled for May 13th. The group made its tour on an ECISD bus. Winners were presented with an oversized horizontal cardboard sign, a Lucite award, and a check from the Education Foundation. secondary principal of the year was Gerardo Ramirez at George H.W. Bush, NewTek, Odessa. It's really a surprise. I really had no idea. And so to be recognized for hard work, to be recognized that we're doing something great at this school, it really is an honor, Ramirez said. The only indication Ramirez said he had was a text message from the district asking him if he was going to be on campus. Ross Elementary School Assistant Principal Adonica Galindo was presented with the Elementary Assistant Principal of the Year Award. Galindo said the recognition was an honor. I'm so touched, very surprising. This is such an honor. I can't say that enough, Galindo said. I absolutely love what I do. I love my folks, and holy cow, she added. When she got up Wednesday morning, she had no clue of the award to come. My biggest concern this morning was how frizzy my hair was. Coming to work is nothing because this is what I love to do so much, said Galindo. This is her fourth year at Ross and her 22nd with ECISD. She added that she thinks every administrator is Administrator of the Year, but I have the title this year, so it's pretty cool. Galindo said she has served in many roles, from teacher's aide to curriculum coach. She added that what drew her to education was incredible teachers. Galindo is a product of ECISD, having graduated from Permian High School in 1999. I'm just so excited, she added. Ross Principal Susan Hendricks was nearly speechless. Words cannot describe how proud I am of Ms. Galindo. She has truly been a huge asset in helping make dreams come true at Ross Elementary, Hendricks said. I am so excited that all of Ms. Galindo's hard work and accomplishments are being acknowledged, she added in a text message. She is so deserving of this honorable award. Secondary Assistant Principal of the Year was Angelina Hilton at Crockett Middle School. Secondary Teacher of the Year was Melissa Valenzuela at Wilson and Young Medal of Honor Middle School. Elementary Teacher of the Year was Annalisa Zapata at Milam Elementary School, and Elementary Principal of the Year was Valerie Rivera at Blackshear Elementary School.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.